What's up, everybody? You are now tuned in to the Grown As Fuck podcast. Let's go.
Who's next?
Today?
I'm saying no, on the death poll. It comes in threes. Comes in threes.
We're rolling.
I didn't
know. I thought we were rolling.
Okay. All right. So, welcome to Grown As Fuck. I am your host, Vaughn DiCarlo, your Grown As Fuck host, I should say. And welcome to sitting in on some Grown As Fuck discussions with my Grown As Fuck friends and guests. And today we have Moreau Martin, funny comedian. And, you know, I had a whole plan for what we were going to talk about
today. Let's do the whole plan. What's up?
It's hard to do the plan because a few minutes ago before we started rolling, another one of our friends of the comedy community passed away, Angelo Lozada.
Yes.
And just how many days ago, Chris Cotton. So it's like, hey, Moreau's here, time to shoot. And then
I could gone. I don't know, right? I don't know.
You know, life is very fragile. So it's almost like I can't just go into just talking about the things that I had planned on talking with you about it without acknowledging. And
here's another comic who went away this year, who passed away earlier this year.
So
William Stevenson.
William Stevenson. It's just like, it's difficult. You know, well, I've been through it when it comes to loss. So I try to stay, I try to keep myself in a certain frame of mind. I try to be a support system of people that I feel are going through those type of things because I have been through it. I'm still going through it. It's something that never ends or goes away. You just get stronger and you learn how to deal with loss.
Yeah.
And, you know, some people when it happens, it's their first time or they've never experienced someone close to them. So it's like you never really know what to do or what to say. But one of the things that I do like to tell people is it's not comforting to the person that they're close with to start telling your story.
Oh,
or
absolutely. I hate
about
that.
Your loss of that person.
I'm like, I always get angry when people are like, oh man, I'm so sorry for your loss. I lost such and such. And I'm like, I don't want to talk about it. It ain't comparison. This is an iPhone versus Android.
And people, I don't think, a lot of people aren't being malicious. They just don't know what to say. So they think they're relating and comforting by saying, oh, when this person died in my life, da 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 da.
Well, it's I feel like it's a rhetorical question. It's it's a rhetorical thing. They're saying it in hopes that you're not going to continue the conversation.
Mm.
You know what I mean? It's the same thing when people go, yo, man, if you ever need me, hit me up. You know,
so you
damn well I'm not going to hit you.
You don't think it's real?
I think most people are disingenuous.
Oh, wow.
I did, but that's not a cynical view. I'm not being cynical
not
when
being
I say that.
I'm cynical when I say all the cynical stuff.
No. Well, it's more of like, I hate when people go, I'm a realist. But I think a lot of people have things going on in their lives and they just don't want to seem unavailable and they don't want to seem like they're not your friends. And it's easier to say, let me know if you need me versus going, all right, man, take care. I'll see you around.
Right.
I'd rather somebody go, hey, man, I hope next time I see you, you feel better.
You feel better.
Versus offering some sort of fake
help.
Because if I really do come to you like, hey, man, this is how I've been feeling, blah, blah, blah. That's a lot of weight for you to deal with.
Right. Well, if I'm a person that has ever said to you or anyone, if you need me, I'm there. If you know me, I absolutely mean it. Because I don't know how. I'm a horrible liar.
Yeah.
So I wear my heart on my sleeve. I'm very sensitive. Y'all tease me about it all the time.
Yeah, we do.
But it's who I am. So it's very hard for me to say something that I don't mean in the first place. So that, and I'm also a little bit gullible sometimes on that end. If someone says it to me, I actually believe them. And that's how I end up taking so many things so personal, like, oh, I thought they were really my friend, or I thought they were cool, but they were just this passerby that said this BS to make themselves feel better, which is selfish.
Yeah.
I'd rather you, like you said, I'd rather you not say that and just say, hey, be strong, hope you know, find a good church or something.
Yeah, like,
you know what I'm saying?
Read a good book, meditate, go exercise.
And it, there's also the side of it where that person knew the person too.
Yeah.
So now it's this big competition of
who knew them more.
Who was it? Man. None of y'all.
Yeah.
His wife is sitting right here.
Yeah.
You're going home to your wife or your girlfriend or your husband or your boyfriend or whatever you're going home to, and you're sitting there telling this man's significant other or son, daughter, mother, whatever, what your loss of that person is all about.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I dealt with that through Chris. That's the comic that passed away. You know, a lot of people was like, oh, you know, I knew him well and blah, blah, blah. I just went, thank you. And I just kept it moving.
Right.
It wasn't that even in that moment, I understand it wasn't about me because Chris was my friend, but he was a husband. He was a brother. He was soon to be father. So I was more focused on his wife and making sure she is fine and making sure she's not on like the suicide watch list and all that
stuff. I can't imagine what it feels like. Because it's hard. Because women have babies all the time, it just looks like, oh, just pop that baby out, get back to regular life.
Man.
Being pregnant and delivering a baby, a healthy baby, is not the easiest process
Absolutely.
In the world. Your body is going, you and that baby could die in the process of labor and pregnancy. And it's just that we've, in science and medicine, we've figured out how to make it the easiest, but it's still
happens.
A dangerous process, a very sensitive thing.
Because they take it for granted. We take baby, we take birth and all this stuff for granted because people are having babies left and right.
Exactly.
And when you see the numbers up, you go, it's easy. But no, a lot of people lose babies.
I had one baby. And I was like, ouch!
My wife was like, she already told me, she was like, nah, I'm not pushing it out. They're putting me under, they're taking it out.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it's going to go.
Are you telling me that she's pregnant?
She's not pregnant.
Oh, okay.
But we're working on it. I think next year we're going to really start gunning for it.
Mm-hmm.
Like 2020 and moving forward.
Nice. Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you. Moreau is not only a very,
very funny comedian and got a great comedy career for himself, but he's recently married. Newlywed. I went to the wedding.
Boom, boom, boom.
Thank you
there.
For inviting me because
no problem,
I'm sensitive.
No problem.
I would have talked about you badly behind your back if I didn't go.
But see, but you're supposed to talk to me about it in front of me. A lot of people approach me.
Oh, behind your back, I meant when we're all at the table.
Oh, okay.
And I'm looking right in your face.
Yeah.
Leaning into Derek or Keith or somebody going, you know he's shady, right?
I got that a lot. A lot of people approach me like hurt that they didn't get an invite. And I'm like, well, my bad, but shit costs money.
It costs money. And you knew I would give a nice
curse?
Gift. The show's name is Grown As Fuck.
I know, but you said stuff. That's why I was like,
Well, because I'm trying to be better with my life, even though I named the whole show with a cuss word. Yeah. I'm trying not to,
if you just call it Grown AF, then you can eliminate the fuck.
Right. I have, because this is all new, the podcast, the show, everything is still very new. The comedy show at the stand, it's all very new.
Yeah.
So that is one of my dilemmas. I am saying Grown As Fuck a lot. I'm using the curse word, the F word a lot.
Yeah.
The website is grownafcomedy.com. And whenever I spell it out, like wherever you listen to podcasts or wherever you go, it's grownaf.com or grownafcomedy.com, whatever. Yeah. You get what I'm saying?
I get what you're saying.
But when you say it, saying, welcome to the Grown AF show, it's just
it
doesn't,
sounds PG.
Right, which defeats the purpose of the show, which is not saying that in order to be real, you have to be a foul mouth. You know, you don't have to. I'm intelligent enough, I think, to get my point across. And every guest I'll have on here is intelligent enough to get their point across without leaning towards vulgarity. But it's just a cool-ass name.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
No, it is. I get it. I'm not arguing with you on that.
Right. But
This is nice, though. Everything looks dope.
Thank you. It's cute. But I can't imagine what Chris Cotton's wife could possibly be going through.
Yeah.
All the hugs and blessings and prayers that she does make it through her pregnancy as healthy and her and the baby and everybody is fine.
Yeah.
But that is the stress of it must be enormous. I can't even imagine.
Yeah.
And so one of the things I do want to talk about, you want to become a father, so that's
great.
Oh, yeah,
great. I want to be a dad.
And you were you talk about in your comedy a lot, yeah, how you went through the system of being adopted or, yeah, or foster kid.
Never adopted.
Okay, clear that up. You've never been adopted.
Yeah, I wish, but no, it's too late. Yeah, I grew up in foster care.
When did you get into the system, though?
Were
you
7 years old.
Oh, you were already too old. Like, what's the age where they go, oh, you're too old, you'll never get adopted?
You can get it. It's, yeah, it's not that you can't get, it's all about the person and the parent letting go their parental like rights, and my mom never wanted to let those go. Like, we could have been adopted early on or even all the way up into my teens, but my mom just never wanted to let go of her parental rights, which sucks because she never got her life together. So we ended up just like bouncing around home to home, placement to placement, in hopes that she'll get her life together. And then when she finally got like some sort of stability in her life, we were already kind of grown. Like, my mom got her life kind of together at like when I was like 16, 17, and I'm old enough to make my own decisions and like figure life out from there. So I ended up just staying in and going into like supervised independent living, which is a program where they give you your own apartment and you just gotta stay in school, maintain a bank account, and you gotta go to these mandatory meetings, and you can't have overnight guests or they will kick you out.
So you had your own apartment through this system at 17?
I got in late.
I want that system. Yeah. That
well,
sounds
it's,
like
it's
a good
easy
deal
for
to
women.
Me.
Like, women get in it so easy. And for
you think
guys,
I'm too old now to be.
Sorry. I mean, your kid is grown.
It's hard. It's hard to live in New York, yo. It's hard to find an apartment.
No, but I know. I know. Yeah. So for guys, it was hard for guys to get like SIL because their priority is taking care of women and their kids first. And there are a lot of girls who get pregnant and then get kicked out of their homes, you know? So they got
to... So they're with child.
Yes. So I, like, interviewed for a bunch of different places, and I got with one of the best places who accepted guys, but like a handful of guys. Maybe out of, I think, 30 kids, maybe, like, 4 dudes. And I was one of the 4. Yeah. And
so
I got it at 18.
So what happens to all the boys that, because I know there's more boys in the system that are not able to
honestly,
get this.
It's dark, but a lot of men end up either going back into the state system, which is prison system, or being homeless. And that number is higher than the ones who actually go to school and get a degree and then go on to like do something with their lives. You know?
Do you still have friends from the system?
Yes. Yeah.
That turned out well or didn't?
Not like kids that didn't care, but more like people who like helped me along my way as a kid. Like, I'm still friends with, like, she was at the wedding, Stephanie. She had like shortcut, side shaved
down. Oh, yeah.
She was my coach when I was in foster care. Like, a coach is like somebody who's like a counselor that you can talk to, and they're usually doing it for college credit. And then me and her got cool after I aged out and graduated, and we started hanging out, and I told her I was doing comedy, and she rooted me all the way, and like, yeah.
Oh,
so
nice.
That's my homie. Yeah.
So when you decided to do comedy?
I did comedy immediately after I aged out. I aged out at 21. I aged out on my 21st birthday. I started doing comedy like right when I turned 22.
So when you age out, do you have to get out of that apartment?
Absolutely.
So comedy probably wasn't a good choice.
Comedy was a terrible choice. Comedy was a terrible choice, but I just knew.
I don't have nowhere to live.
I don't have nothing to do.
What should I do? Some shit that'll make me homeless still for the next 20 years.
I was like, fuck it, why not?
And it's the best decision.
It was probably one of the best decisions. I try to not regret decisions I've made, because if you live in regrets, that means you don't really cherish what you have now. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I feel like I'm doing great. I have like really great friends. I have a great career. I got a great wife. And I'm like, every decision I've made led me to this exact moment. So I really can't like bitch about it.
Right. Do you feel like, you know what I mean, growing up the way you did kind of left you with a fearless stance on life? Like, what do I have to do?
Yes. Yeah, no.
I
it
felt
left
like
me
that a little bit.
Yeah.
Growing up poor, you know.
Yeah, growing up poor, you don't fear poverty when you become an adult.
Right.
I don't fear being poor at all, because I'm like, unless something happens where I'm like, I just lose everything and I end up being a bum on the street, that'll be shocking to me. But I know how to navigate poverty. Mm-hmm. I know how to make make $400 stretch.
Oh my God!
You know what
yes.
I mean? I can make $400 last
ramen
for like
noodles.
A month and a half. Yeah.
My whole meal for a week would be a pack of Ritz crackers.
Ritz crackers. What you mix
the
it with?
The ramen noodles.
Okay, you put the Ritz in the ramen.
Well, I like to mix foods, okay. Like different tastes. Like if yeah. I have a salad. And mashed potatoes. I'll yeah. eat a bite of salad, and I mix the mashed potatoes. Yeah. I mix everything together okay. all in one bite. I'm just like that.
Yeah.
So the ramen noodles, and then the crackers, like the dip. You know, yeah. you take a bite of the noodles, take a bite of the crackers, and that.
I've never done
I would have
that.
Like a pack for each day of the week.
Yeah.
And I would stretch them Ritz crackers out for each day of the week.
Yeah.
If I had money for a 99-cent cheeseburger.
Yeah.
At McDonald's, that was like a
you
big
can
deal.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I made $5 extra this week.
Yep. You like, what are you? Five times a
cheeseburger.
I was like that with Burger King. Like, Burger King did the 2 for $2,
no,
the 2 for $4.
Okay, because I was about to say, them little ass Whoppers.
Nah, you can go to Burger King, get two fish sandwiches, two chicken sandwiches, you can mix and match it.
But they were still small, though.
Yeah, no.
The 99-cent cheeseburger
this
at McDonald's
when they started killing
like
people.
The double cheeseburger, yeah. Remember when I went 99-cent? That's a meal.
I know. Or you can get two hamburgers and fill up on that bread.
But, the two.
Yeah, say you can get two hamburgers, 79-cent.
I don't know.
And it's the bread that's filling.
But I believe that was eating real meat at the time.
Oh, yeah. No. I don't know what we was eating.
I don't know what I was
eating. I would do the ramen noodles with the tuna. You take canned tuna, pour it in a ramen noodle.
Oh, see, I never did the tuna.
Yeah. That's still a dollar meal because tuna fish, a canned tuna went up, but it used to be like 60 cents.
Yeah.
Like what? 60 cents, get a pack of ramen, throw it in there, throw some butter in there just to make it a little gourmet and a little cream-like. Consistency, take a slice of cheese, rip it up, throw it in there, stir it up.
Hungry.
Boom. Boom.
You know what I miss? That I think I'm gonna make this when I get home. I haven't had this in years.
What?
A fried bologna and cheese sandwich.
What type of do you do the bologna with the red ring around it?
Well, I cut the edges so it doesn't bubble. And then it stays flat. Yeah, you just cut the edges. Like you
cut them off?
No, like so. This is the circle, right?
Yes.
And then like make it look like the sun.
I never knew about it.
Yeah, and then it won't bubble. It'll stay flat.
I just ate the bubble. I just like either like slammed it down and twisted.
People like the bubble. I didn't like the bubble because it messed up the cheese and made it too messy to clean up. So then you put the cheese in the middle, fry it on both sides, put it on some toast. That was the stuff.
Okay, I never knew that. I never knew that.
It's all right. Bologna and cheese.
Chief, you get the one, the bologna with the red ring around it, that's the thicker cut of bologna.
See,
that bologna was like this thick.
But then you have to strip. That ring grossed me out. I will always
you ever just suck the bologna off the string? Yeah.
No,
you grossed out. We talking about frying bologna and you grossed out.
No, but the bologna, the inside of the bologna, like that outside ring, I would peel that off.
Yeah, I'll peel it off, but you gotta suck the meat off of it.
Stop sucking the meat. That sounds nasty, meat sucker. Maro's a meat sucker.
I'm not a meat sucker. No, don't put that out there.
I was gonna see if I was gonna do one of these. I don't know. I feel like, you know, I know all of us have come so far from our humble beginnings. I just feel like our generation, well, I'm older than you, but like still, your generation ain't as far gone as the current generation.
Yeah.
So when you look at the world we're in now and you're like, I can't imagine on purpose wanting to, and my daughter was on purpose, but I can't imagine looking at the world we're in now and going, I want to have a kid.
I know.
Or does that not scare you? Like
it does.
Donald Trump is about to turn this world into a Nazi camp or something.
I know, but for some reason, I'm like, you can't let that stop you from living your life. Like, I want to see what me and my wife's face look like like together. That's main reason.
That's so selfish. Yeah, I know. Let me bring a whole life.
Wait, who doesn't have kids for selfish reasons?
True. I guess
it's either for the sex, the money, or you want to see what your kids, you and your wife or husband's face would look like.
But those are very young reasons. Like, you grown as fuck.
Yeah.
Like, you should have more rational reasons.
What other rational reason is there?
That's what I'm saying. By the time you rationalize what life is and where this world could possibly be going.
Yeah.
Well, you'll see.
Okay.
I want you to remember this conversation when your first child is born. You're going to look, when I looked at my daughter, my heart sunk. I was like, you just do not understand God and love until you see your child.
Yeah.
And then you think about this world they're in, and then you're like, oh my God. You realize that you're going to do everything you can to protect them, but there is nothing you can really do. And that's when you go, oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, damn.
I'm sorry.
You think I brought you in this world?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. So, I guess getting back to the world we're in now, life is beautiful.
Life is beautiful. And I think we focus on the negative too much.
True.
Man.
There are a lot of beautiful things in life, and I'm glad that I am a mother and I was able to, you know, give that life opportunity to another human being who is a beautiful, intelligent young woman that is going to be turning 21 soon.
Yeah.
It's amazing to me. But the idea of, because I was young when I had her, so it was like, you already know the world is crazy and effed up and whatever, but I'm like, I'm a survivor and this is what life is.
Yeah.
But as you get older, you really look at it, you go, oh my God. Like, I'm imagining if I would not decide, like, today, I'm having a baby today.
You wouldn't do it?
Kanye West is going to be president in 2024.
Yeah.
Okay, stop playing.
Wouldn't you want to live in that world? Wouldn't you want to live in that world and be like, yo, that's the president, and I have all his albums. I have all the president's albums right here. I had the president has sneakers. The president has a clothing line. He had one of the greatest tours ever. You don't want that? You don't want that? That's
I do
cool.
Because I'm childish.
Yeah.
That seems fun.
That's cool.
But the mature side of me is like, wait a minute, what are the policies? What's gonna happen to people?
Yeah.
People are struggling. People don't have health care. Flint still don't have. Yeah. Actually, Flint has some good water now because of Jaden Smith. So you know what? I don't know if you saw that, but he instilled these filtration systems or whatever, whatever that was. I'm probably saying it wrong, but he did something that our government didn't do. So you know what? Maybe we do need pure-hearted celebrities with some moral values.
Yeah.
In our government.
And it's happening. You got, there's a lot of people who are doing what Jaden is doing, but you just don't hear about them because it's not flashy.
Right.
And they don't, Jaden got that attention because he's a celebrity. His parents are celebrities. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But there's other people who are trying to make the same thing happen in other places. Like, I heard West Virginia is just as worse as Flint, but no one cares about that.
Oh, really?
You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I didn't know what was going on in West Virginia. And that's the thing. It's just, it's so much to know. How do you keep up with everything? How do you participate in everything?
You can't keep up with everything because everybody is distracted by Trump. Everybody did. This is probably, to me, I don't know the numbers, but outside looking in, it feels like everybody is in the politics now. Which they weren't before.
You can't.
But no one knows policies, though.
Right. He doesn't know policies.
But neither do the people who are complaining. Neither do the people who are like this, that, and the third. And like, but what really matters? Because you could vote in your local election, or you can get a team of people together and find somebody who you believe in and push them and get them to run for
and then
local
you push
stuff.
Them and you believe
especially
in them
when
and you
kids
find out
run
they ain't
and
shit either.
Yeah. But especially when like kids run, like there was like a kid who like got elected mayor and like I forgot like a small town, but that's real. That shows
that's
you
crazy.
People are powerful and
well,
people just
that,
submit.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, but I'm just saying people just submit.
Just submit because they're lazy.
Yeah.
And I think that one of the, and I said this too when Trump got elected, I said maybe the godly overall picture of this is that this trifling ass man is going to force people to be involved, to stop being so lazy, to go, wait a minute, I'm just living my life over here and this is what politicians are doing? Wait a minute. So it's making people open up their eyes and learn more about politics and go, all right, I'm not just giving my vote away. Even though it's almost like you lose hope because he's going to steal it anyway. Like, there's nothing in me that believes that he's not going to be president again in 2020.
I don't think he's going to run again. It's not beneficial for him to have two terms. He did everything.
That's a perspective.
I think he did everything. He to him, he won if he doesn't get elected again. If he gets impeached or whatever, I think he'll just go, nah, you see how America is. You see how they tried to keep me out. He'll figure out a way to flip this and go, they don't want me to become president anymore. That way he can still retain the fame and the loyalty.
I never thought of it that way. So you're right. If he doesn't run, he wins. But if he does run, I think he's going to win because he's going to steal it even if he doesn't win.
I think it'll be a difference because now we're more educated on what electoral college vote is now.
Right, but I don't think it matters. I think he will I think he is a corrupt person and corrupt people find corrupt ways to do whatever it is
but they're going to do. There's another person out there that's just as corrupt, that's probably quiet. You know what I mean? That's probably quiet, that's playing a game, and we're all going to vote for that person.
Plus,
and
if he doesn't win in 2020, how is he going to pass the torch to Kanye 2024?
I don't know. I don't know. Kanye's going to win in 2024. He has the money. Yeah.
Hey, Kim, his wife is Kim Kardashian. She's doing prison reform. Yeah. She's a humanitarian. She's doing she's done more than Melania. Trump, she's done more this past year than Melania has done.
Absolutely. Because she don't know. Melania doesn't know what's going on.
Is also studying. She's getting a law degree. Her father was a lawyer, so she's following in his footsteps, getting a law degree. You know, you can't really be mad at someone that's putting in legit work.
Yeah.
You can hate on her for whatever else you want, but when you see legit work, you gotta go.
Man,
credit where credit is due.
I agree.
Yeah. I want to ask you the hotspot question.
Go ahead.
So, grown as fuck discussions. The hotspot question for you would be: do you think it's okay for people to adopt people of different races, whether it's white people adopting black kids, black people adopting white kids, if that's even possible, or any race?
I think so. I think the most important thing is you should know about that culture, though. Like, if you're white and you're adopting a black kid, you should know about black culture. You should know the history behind white and black people and teach them the truth. Mm-hmm. And don't just sugarcoat it and be like, you know, there was slavery, but now slavery is over. And it's all about applying yourself. And there's no system that exists that isn't out there that's going to keep you down. Like, tell your kid the truth. You know what I mean?
I agree.
Because if I adopt a white kid, I would have to go, yes, you live with me. Yes, you and my world is different. But when you go out there, there's going to be people who don't think that you should be in my house, that you shouldn't be in my care, that you're superior. You're going to get things that your cousins may not get.
Right.
You're going to get looked at for things that your friends may not get. And I think it's important to recognize that and also, you know, like, take those opportunity and do your best. And when you can level up, you give back.
Absolutely.
Or you bring people along. But people don't fucking teach their kids that.
But you know what? There's so many people that they just have these black and white viewpoints where it's like, no, I think that's wrong. Or no, I think it's like, well, why? You have to have a full discussion about it.
No one knows. We were taught that it was wrong. We're taught right and wrong. You know what I mean? It was like, that's right or wrong.
Right.
But those both exist.
Were you like, I hope I get adopted and I hope it's a white family?
Yeah. I never hope for a white family.
Like different strokes.
But
like
I would see that. I would see that. And I would just see that kid. They always feel like they struggled to me.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And maybe it was because that family, I don't know. We don't know what goes on behind closed
They would
doors,
go above and beyond. They would be the token when it came to their white friends. And then they would go above and beyond to prove themselves when they're around black people.
Sounds like you're talking to my biracial life. Yeah, don't get me started. Do I'm not sorry. Get me on my
that's
soapbox.
Like a, that's like
but
a
that's
thing.
What it's like being yeah. mixed, black yeah. and white, which is just a fancy way of saying you black.
Yeah.
But you do get put into that position where it's like, all my life I got
yep. stuff. Your blackness is always being challenged and your whiteness is always being challenged. Well, that has to suck.
I can't even.
No one's challenging
take
my
the
blackness.
Time to explain to you how there is no whiteness.
Yeah.
You know, that's what.
What do you mean there isn't no whiteness?
It does not matter.
Man.
My mother is my white parent. My dad is my black parent.
Man.
One drop rule. Yeah. You're black.
Yeah.
If we're slaves, I was not free. Name a time period
yeah.
where it was like, oh, you got a white parent, just go yeah. to walk out this door to your freedom. Yeah. No, yeah. I know they separated us and did the house slaves versus field slaves and yeah. caused that commotion. But at the end of the day, we were both slaves. And what made it so much easier for me that yeah. I gotta fight them, I'm still called a nigga. I'm yeah. still you, I'm still black. I, yeah. I still have all the same struggles as yeah. blackness. And
but
then I gotta
blackness.
Come home
yeah.
and fight my black people too.
Yeah.
Cause now y'all wanna beat me up for something that I can't even control.
Yeah.
So when I go, what whiteness?
Yeah.
With the, what whiteness?
Yeah.
Where do I go on planet Earth where I say, oh yeah, I'm white?
Yeah. I know that's
really?
Just the, but this the world that people create in their heads. Because when you don't, when all you see is somebody, how somebody else is living, you create mm-hmm. the rest of the stuff. You stitch it together. So growing up, I never was like that, but growing up, I can see how people go.
It wasn't
oh,
me that
look
was mushing
her.
The light skinned girls
yeah.
in the face.
Yeah, no,
it was,
I wasn't.
It was my
I
friends.
Wasn't. It was my friends. I would never mush anybody in the face. No girl, why? Why would you do that?
You bully. No, I know you
Damn.
Did, but yeah, it's all, I think. As we move forward yeah. in this crazy world, and I hope you and your wife yeah. have a bunch
kid,
of beautiful babies.
Yeah, my kid is going to be biracial. My wife is already talking about it. She's like, what are you going to do? How do you think your family is going to react?
Oh, yeah, that's
and
right.
I'm just
I
like,
forgot.
I'm like, I'll deal with it
you
when
might
it comes
fully
here.
You clear it up.
Okay, my wife is Colombian, so I'm black. And my wife, she speaks English, but she's first generation American. And she's very scared that, you know, like, people are not going to, like, her kid will not embrace the Colombian side.
Mm.
And I go, but that's on you. That's on
right.
you to fill their life with those things.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Right. I see. Well, it's good that you guys are having a conversation now.
I hate having a conversation now. It's not good.
Why not?
Because I don't like hypotheticals.
It's oh my God. Now
I
we
don't
gonna get into
like
some
hypotheticals.
Male,
that's
stuff.
What women
no.
do. Y'all
yes,
give me these hypotheticals.
We plan things out.
That's not called planning. A hypothetical
it is
not
planning.
A plan.
So wait, you wait until you have a baby and you have a situation that you have to handle and go, okay, let's discuss how to handle this. No, it's forward thinking. It's okay, hypothetically, if this happens, how would we deal with it?
That's annoying to me, because I'm not good at taking tests, and that's what it feels like.
Well,
it feels like taking the test. Anytime a hypothetical comes on, it comes about, which women do all the time. Everything is a hypothetical. And then I'm like, why do I gotta take this test? Let's just
guess
see what happens.
Guess what's gonna happen when you become a dad.
What?
Every day of your life is a hypothetical.
What do you mean?
What if we put our, let's say you have a daughter, what if we put her in ballet, but she really should be playing piano? Oh no, what if she doesn't like piano? What if we should put her in basketball?
Can I just go whatever she likes? I'm like, what do you want to do?
Right.
You want to ding, ding,
That's
ding,
what I did
dance?
With my daughter.
Yeah.
But as you went along, you have to be hypersensitive, you have to pay attention, you have to, and sometimes
yeah.
you're not sure,
yeah.
and making hard decisions, you have to be forward thinking and go, in this hypothetical situation,
mm-hmm.
what will we do?
Yeah.
Or how do we plan this out?
Yeah.
What if she gets all the way through to high school and discovered that she hates ballet like my daughter did?
Yeah.
But she,
I'm like, you owe me some money.
Dance her whole,
you know owe what? Me some money.
Let me tell her that. See how yeah. that goes. But I followed along with what she gravitated towards,
yeah.
and I did that. And it's like, oh, what if this happened? So there's no true answer to anything and nothing's guaranteed.
So then
but
what's the point of a hypothetical?
Just going with the flow means you're not prepared at all.
I've
and for
never been prepared.
Is, Well, you're married now and you're about to be a father.
I wasn't even prepared for that.
I'm about to start a petition for Moreau to not be an ad. Like, you, it's not all about you, selfish.
Yo.
It's about your wife and it's about your future babies. Because y'all going to have more than one.
You think? So,
if you have one and you're married and you're, it's like people who get one puppy.
Yeah.
Oh, the puppy needs company. You definitely are going to have multiple puppies.
That, well, I just, my wife wanted a cat.
And up until this conversation, I thought you would be a great dad.
I think I would be a great dad too. I just don't believe in the hypothetical.
Well, you have to not only be a great dad, but more importantly, you have to be a phenomenally great husband.
Absolutely.
And one of the things I really like to talk about and really drive into a man's head as much as I can.
I'm listening.
Is your kids, you love your kids.
Yeah.
But you're, it's easy for me to say, you know, and sometimes it's, it, people don't understand this, but your wife and your husband comes first.
Okay.
Then the kids.
Yeah.
You do not put the children, and that doesn't mean neglect your children. That's absurd if that's what people think.
Yeah.
But you are to, you love your children and you raise them to be quality citizens and human beings, and then they go out and then they find their husband and wife and who's going to grow old with them.
Yeah.
And you give them the tools to make good decisions in life, right?
Yeah.
Who's there after those 18 to 25 or whatever years that it takes for them to make those great decisions as an adult?
Yeah.
Your husband, your wife.
Okay.
That is who you chose to live out the rest of your life with.
Yeah.
So you cannot go, oh, my kids come first. Your wife comes first. Your husband comes first. Yeah. Because when the children are gone, if you are doing your job right, they will leave.
Okay.
And then they will, their job is to find their spouses that's going to live their life out with them. So that's how I think couples fall apart.
Yeah.
Because they start neglecting each other for the children.
Yeah.
I know Steph Curry.
They look at their kids as a distraction. I've always felt that. Me and my homie always talked about.
Or they're always just putting them first.
Yeah, they put the kids first because the relationship is probably sour. You have, like, where I, growing up, I just seen people have kids for reasons outside of love.
Right.
I seen people have kids because they think it's going to save their relationship, or they were just like, well, what else do we do? It's, we're already married. We already have this steady job.
This is the next step.
This is the next step. And because they run out of ideas of what to do with each other, they just put all that attention and focus on the kid, and they stop taking care of themselves. They stop taking care of each other.
Stop being romantic to each other. You know, you, I would love to marry someone that wants to court me forever because I want to be courted. Forever.
I always believe you got to keep some perversion. You have to. I'm like, if you are not still, like, I say swooning. I don't know what swooning actually means. But swooning over the person you're with, then the relationship is dead.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, it sounds like you're on the right track.
Yeah, I'm a pervert. She may not like it, but I'm like, what's up? What you doing?
Oh, my God.
You know?
Please, let me. I'm
gonna
praying for all your little puppies and babies in advance. I know.
Well, if we have multiple kids, then that means I got to move out of New York.
Ooh.
Or I got to pull a Jim Gaffigan.
You can't not do stand-up. I don't know what that is. What's pulling Jim, a Jim Gaffigan?
Jim Gaffigan has, like, word on the street. I don't know. But he has, like, a lot of kids.
Okay.
And he lives, like, in New York, in the city.
Okay.
And they all live in, like, a gigantic condo. But not
They're
a house.
They're not one woman?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, all right.
But Jim Gaffigan means, like, he didn't leave the city. Most people have kids and they go to, like, Long Island.
Oh,
or they go, you know, Rochester.
I don't know, but you know what?
What?
You plan it out by doing hypotheticals, and then that way you come up with a good plan.
I've never been good at planning. I've never been good at planning.
Get good at it.
I don't know how to get good at it.
Get good at it.
How do you
get good at it? Stop being lazy. But first of all, you start by accepting that hypotheticals are okay.
Okay.
All right. So that's
I'm learning.
We'll
I like
start
this.
There. We'll, okay. we'll start there.
All right.
We'll start there.
Thank you.
So the final segment I like to do with my guests is called the Grown as Fuck Gripes.
Okay.
Where and the viewers and listeners and everybody, they call in, they leave messages.
Yeah.
They go to
I already have a gripe. And it's you.
Well, let me set it up. So viewers and listeners, you could go to grownafcomedy.com, click on listen, and you'll see where you can leave a voicemail. Leave your grown as fuck gripes. And you can set it up like, if for us, it could be anything that we talked about on the show. For viewers, it could be anything, like if they had a bad day.
Okay.
You know, somebody bumped into them and you were like, what you not gonna do is just knock me out the way without saying sorry. You know, what not gonna do.
Okay.
You want to go first, or you want me to go first? Or
no, because I just want to say what you're not going to do is sit here and teach me how to be a man.
Oh,
that's what I felt like you were trying to do.
Really? That's how it came off? No, it didn't. Really.
I'm joking, but I learned something. But it was like I didn't want to learn it. You know what I mean? I didn't want to learn it.
What you not going to do is come up to the Grown As Fuck show and not learn and not understand that hypotheticals are okay.
No.
Here, I'll get you a pen and pad. Let's start. You got some more stuff to learn.
I know. Now I'm going to be bugging you all the time. Anyway. Now I'm like, all right, so what should I do? All right, go ahead. What's your...
I'm just going to close out. Thank you for listening and watching. And again, go to grownafcomedy.com for links to everything. Follow me on social media. Where can they follow you?
Monroe Martin, I on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. MonroeMartinComedy.com. And I have a podcast with Derek Gaines called No Need for Apologies. Vaughn has done 2 episodes. She's been fantastic. When is this coming?
They tease me terribly.
Because that's all we know.
That's all we know. And I love them.
We're not grown AF.
GrownAFComedy.com. Shout out to 3636 Studios for my lovely studio set. And we'll see you next time.
All right. Thank you. I'm like, what? Goddamn. You don't understand. My wife tries to have these hypothetical conversations. I go, let's just.
What you not going to do is sit and complain about Trump, and you ain't getting out and vote.
What up, Coach V? It's your boy Mike, a.k.a. Astro8713 on Instagram. Hoping you're having a wonderful day. And my grown as fuck gripe of the week is, what you not going to do is tell me I'm doing something wrong, but not give me a solution on how to fix it.
That's it. Thanks for tuning in to the Grown As Fuck podcast and telling me all your grown as fuck gripes.